What's up, competitors? I'm Mike Bednarz, and you're about to hear my interview on the Compete Every Day podcast.
I'm grateful because I'm still the same person. I still have the same goals. I still want the same things. So I'm relatively back. And like, I just had this night where I was gonna flip the script. I'm like, this is on me. This situation sucks, but you know, it is what it is. I need to figure it out. And what I can control, maybe I can't control that my eyes don't see. Maybe I can't control that, you know, I have no, my left leg or whatever the case may be, but I can control my thoughts. Like, I'm still there.
My name is Jake Thompson, your Chief Encouragement Officer, and this is the Compete Every Day podcast, a show designed to encourage and equip you with the tools to build a winning mindset so you can build your winning life. Text podcast to 972-945-9113 to join our morning motivation club and visit CompeteEveryDay.com for past podcast episodes and to learn more about our resources and gear for ambitious people who are ready to start winning. Welcome to the show. So you're in for a treat today, competitor. I am incredibly excited and humbled is probably the best way to put today's guest, Mike Bednarz. Mike is a member of Compete Every Day. He's been a customer for years. A few years ago, he and his brother built a garage gym and hung our Some Want It, Some Don't flag up there. And I didn't know Mike. I don't know Mike. He's not active in our Facebook community. But Mike sent our team a note on Instagram in February. And you're going to have to bear with me. This is literally the second time I've had to record this intro because I have a really hard time getting through it setting up today for a number of reasons. And so to give you a little bit of backstory, those that have been with the brand and the company for a while, you've seen our business change, right? I am doing a lot of speaking now, traveling over the country, doing keynotes and some trainings. We've got our coaching cohort. I'm focusing on coaching and developing leaders and books. And a lot of that has taken the attention away from our apparel side. And the apparel is still a big part of our business. We love the opportunity to outfit you with empowering gear and motivating gear. But like everything else in life, the last couple of years, the cost have gone up an insane amount. And I've had various conversations the last couple of years as my bandwidth has shrunk of what do we do with the apparel? And I've always struggled with that question because on one side, there's months that it's just a giant pain in the butt because we carry inventory or we have designs that just don't hit. And that's like life, right? That's everything in business. You're not going to hit 100%. And the more I focus on where I feel I'm called to go and what I'm called to do, the more I'm trying to say no to things that distract me from that. And so I've had conversations with my coach, with a few other folks around, you know, how do we manage the apparel better? How do we split it off or shut it down or scale it in a way that isn't going to take away from where I really feel I'm called to go? And specifically, this was a day in, oh man, late February, I'd finished a keynote. I was headed to the airport and sitting in the back of the Uber, and I get a text from Kate on our team, who is kind of the behind the scenes for our Instagram account now for the Compete Every Day side. And it was a message from Mike, and it came with some pictures, and I read it, and all the context I've had is, you know, what am I doing on this side of our business? It's tiring. It's a headache. I don't know what to do. And I get this message from Mike about his story. And he showed some pictures of his gym a few years ago. And then he shared that on August 11th, he had an accident and almost died. And Mike's going to share that in today's episode. He was told he'd never walk again or run again. And he said his brother just told him every day, just get better than yesterday. Just beat yesterday. And he said, that's how I got through tough days. His brother bought him one of our shirts and he hung the flag up in the hospital room. And he said, I just want to articulate that everything the brand stands for is so true. And I constantly remind myself of those every day when I'm in therapy and fighting my battle. Wanted to encourage you, keep up the good work. And I sent it around to my wife and coach and best friend. And when I was talking to Kate, I was like, man, you got me crying here in the middle of the airport. And I said, you know, there's months we go through where the apparel is just expensive and it's a toll. And I said, then there's days like this where I'm like, we got to figure it out. And because, there's Mike. There's a guy from a few years ago who emailed me after seeing one of our ads for our shirt still standing. You OG folks probably know it. It was a Navy shirt with a big anchor on the back and said, I'm stronger than the storms that tried to break me. And this guy told me about how he was getting ready to kill himself. And for some reason, he scrolled Facebook that day. Of all things he's going to do before that. And he sees our ad, or one of Rogue's ads, with our shirt. And he buys that shirt. And he decides to give himself a second chance. Or the young woman who I share some of her story in one of my keynotes, that the day she started chemo for breast cancer at the age of 40, she bought a few of our shirts to keep her focused on her goals and showing up when it got hard. And the reason I share all this, God, the reason I keep having to re-record this intro is because I'm one of the most competitive people you'll ever meet. I want to win. I want to succeed. But the reason I want to win and I want to succeed is not for me. Maybe when I started, it was a little bit selfish. But it's for guys like Mike. It's for you. It's for you listening to this, taking time out of your day. You could spend the 10 to 20, 30 minutes doing something else, but somehow you're here listening to me. And some days I'm rambling, like right now. And I hope just a little bit I'm giving you some value. But I share this to tell you, like, the work I do is not work. It is a mission. And I am so grateful for you. Whether you've ever bought a shirt and you just tune into this podcast, I am grateful for you. And I'm going to keep pouring my heart and my soul out and trying to help you. Help you if you're in a situation like Mike, if you're trying to deal with a kid who won't talk to you, if you're struggling with a divorce, if you just don't know how to lead at work, if you're overwhelmed by this new job, if you're feeling stuck, if you're even coming close to debating that today's the day to quit, I'm going to keep showing up to remind you that it's not. That you have something to compete for, that you can get better than you were the day before. And no matter what situation you're in, like Mike's going to tell you today, you can be like most of society and choose to be a victim, or you can say, no, I'm grateful for what I have and I'm going to go get better and get more. And so I hope you do this with this snotty, tear-filled type intro that... I'm not an emotional guy, as my wife or family would probably attest to, but I care about you and I care about seeing you succeed. And the work I do is not just work. It's not just a job. I'm not trying to just make a buck. I'm trying to make a difference. And I hope if you're here, I've made some kind of impact on you, but I hope today, more than anything, that you get a chance to hear Mike's story and his attitude and his mentality and how he's facing this situation inspires you like it inspires me. like my friend Randy's story inspired me when she was on the podcast about what she overcame and how all the conversations I have with people who are showing up and making choices that not everybody will make. Everybody can make, but most people don't. Most people want it easy. Most people want to stick with what's comfortable. Most people are going to deal with regret for not living up to the person they were created to be and capable of becoming. So I hope not you. And so in all of this, this is my emotional way, Mike, to tell you how much I appreciate you, because I had a really hard time interviewing you today because of how much your story's impacted me. And for you listening, whether we've interacted on email or in the text club or social media, or maybe not at all, I want you to know how much you mean to me and how much I want to see you win and how much I'm driven every single day to wake up and work hard to help you win, to make something that motivates you, to write something that equips you, and hopefully just say a few words that encourages you. And so with that, I'm going to stop crying and I'm going to turn the mic over to my new friend and your fellow member of Competitor Nation, Mike Bednarz. Mike, welcome to the Compete Every Day podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Encouragement himself. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
No, I am looking forward to this conversation. And listeners heard a little bit in the intro about what spurred this when you DM'd our team and kind of shared some pictures and stuff around your journey of how you've shown up and really competed every day in a situation that most of us listening can't relate to. So I want to flashback before we talk about what happened and what you started facing. Talk to me a little bit about your competitive side just growing up in life. Were you always a competitive driven person? Have you know you gone through things where you're like, I'm dialing it in now? Tell me a little bit about life growing up.
Yeah. So my parents are divorced. My dad, you know, my brother and I lived with my dad. So I kind of grew up with that masculine culture where it was like, you know, and I've used this tremendously throughout my recovery process, like just figure it out. You know, I have a bad day at work. I played soccer in high school and college. You know, we don't come home and socialize it, and which is pros and cons about growing up that way. But I had that mentality, like, I just got to figure it out. You know, this is my situation. I'll just figure it out. So been tremendously competitive my whole life, played soccer. I went to New York University, played soccer there for a couple of years. And it really got into CrossFit actually after when I stopped playing soccer. Just I need that competitive bug. And I was working in various jobs. I worked in sports marketing and music marketing. And again, my competitive nature, that I got hit with the entrepreneur bug pretty hard. I was like, I need to do this for myself. What am I doing making someone else rich? So my brother actually was doing HVAC, heating, ventilation, and cooling, which unfortunately is how I fell and got here. But he's amazing at what he does, and he's great at what he does. And he's just like, you know, what are you doing? You're so unhappy. You need to kind of do this with me, and we'll run the business. We'll start a business. We'll get it going. So I was working for a company called iHeartMedia. I don't know. Yep. They got a bunch of radios, 850 plus radio stations all over the world. And it literally took me a year to come to the decision that I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I need to bet on myself. I could walk in one day. I was killing it at work, but I was like, you know, they can fire me any day. I need, you know, my brother and I can do this. So I finally came to the decision to do that. I think largely because I'm so competitive. And we started the business, formed the corporation probably 7-8 years ago. And we've just been, you know, growing steadily ever since. We've got 4 employees now, and I would say 60-70% out in the field, like doing service calls actually on site before my accident. So now I've been, you know, primarily 100% in the office, the more finance, accounting, all the clerical roles and things like that. And just the it's just, I try to think like, I try to do hard things every day because I think that that truly, you know, some people say, Mike, you're just born with that. Like, no, like I hate doing a lot of the things I do, but I do it every day and I've cultivated and kind of molded myself to enjoy this process and get it going and to be able to endure a lot of hard things because of that just competitive mindset. My girlfriend and I actually have this, I apologize, I'm like cognitively 80, 85% back. So like sometimes it's very hard for me to find words. But we have this acronym, we say AMB, which is like always measure backwards. And it really helped me throughout my recovery process. You know, I couldn't measure against Mike Bednar's pre August 11th because I'd be short every time. So, you know, I started measuring like yesterday, I couldn't even balance. I couldn't even stand up without, you know, two nurses helping me and stuff. And it's like, okay, you know, today's there's going to be one nurse and then I'm going to balance for 1 second and 5 seconds. And I just realized the importance with that competitive nature that it's, don't get me wrong, like comparison and expectations are tremendously dangerous, like tremendous, especially given what I went through, you know, but because of the huge background and being so competitive and driven, in essence, I was like, you know, I'm going to measure against a day or two or a week ago. And every time then I created like, okay, brain injuries are so, they're so marginal. Like you get better that you can't compare yourself to yesterday or 2 days ago or 3 days. I got to look at things like a couple weeks, a month or two. And then it's like, okay, you know, I'm doing it. I'm working hard. I'm improving a bit. So just, you know, keep going in terms of that.
Tell me, so you've teased it a few times for the audience. Take us back to August 11th and what happened.
It got me a long time to get to this point, but I actually am grateful for August 11th, which is very, you know, weird and abnormal to say. A lot of people would be like, what are you talking about? I put my family and my loved ones and everything through a tough situation, but my brother and I own a commercial HVAC company. So I was just on a job site and we work with extension ladders, if you're familiar with those. So I've been on a million roofs, you know, just booming, working so quick, probably trying to do too much. And I didn't find this out until about, you know, 2 months later. I actually fell when I was going up the ladder, which is interesting because the ladder hatches down. So you think as you have the weight support on that, you'd be good to go. So to this day, I don't really know how the ladder failed, but I don't choose to think about it because what good is that really going to do me? But essentially, I was going up the ladder and for whatever reason or how, it kind of gave out. And luckily, I would say 99% of the time I work, I'm by myself. But there was a general contractor that happened to be there that was kind of working with me and overseeing some things. And I guess the ladder, according to him, was started to slip or fall and it was going towards it, him. And I kind of like pushed it out of the way and just kind of screwed myself, in essence. Landed on the ground. I have no memory of that day or the day before, even. Had a severe brain injury. They call it a TBI, traumatic brain injury, severe concussion, ended up cracking 8 ribs. The left side of my face is still paralyzed. My skull cracked and they call it bone fragments that went down to nerve 7, which controls like the left side of your face. So that whole nerve got messed up. I don't know if you know what vestibular is. I never heard that word before, but essentially it controls your balance, like where you are in space. And my vestibular system was shot. So like, it's very hard for me to balance and do things, which you completely take for granted as a human, but now I don't at all. So I'm grateful for that. So had a huge injury there, was at the, what do they call it? The ICU for about 2-3 weeks. Then they transferred me to the general hospital for 2-3 weeks. I was in inpatient rehab for about a month after. And then I was in day rehab for probably 3-4 months every day from 8 to 4, getting speech therapy, OT, PT, and vision therapy. I've actually been clinically diagnosed as being blind, which is a whole nother curveball. And just been doing all these therapies every day and doing, you know, my workouts on myself. I feel like I've definitely improved. You know, now I can, I work out. I'm honestly addicted. It's probably bad. I work out like 2 to 3 times a day on top of therapy, but it's mentally, it's like kind of like what I need and helps keep me going.
Yeah, I would imagine. The journey back, even just hearing the thing you went through, like, can't mentally, like physically, you were in a tough spot to come back from. Mentally, especially someone that you were a college athlete, you played, like, you were used to doing all these things. Talk to me about those first few days of rehab, because a lot of people, I mean, mentally just kind of check out at that point. Like, it's not how far do I have to go to get back or what do I need to do? It's how much have I lost? I'll never get there. I quit. And you didn't have that attitude. And we talked off air that you had some of our stuff was in the hospital room as like reminders, but I really am curious, like just from you personally, once you kind of accepted, here's what happened. And even maybe that was just an ongoing struggle. How did you make the decision? Like, this is not where the story ends.
Don't get me wrong. I went through a very, so I was knocked out for 3-4 weeks. Like, I didn't even know what was going on. Went to the ICU, the hospital. And when I finally got to, it's called Shirley Ryan Rehabilitation Center. Finally, when I got there, I started to cognitively come back a little more. And I had very negative thoughts. Like, I've never contemplated, you know, I'm not ashamed to say this, I did have suicidal thoughts for probably a solid 1 to 2 days, because I've been defined as, you know, that athletic guy, he can do anything, he pushes his, that was my definite, that was who I was. And now I can't even stand up, I can't even roll over on the side because my ribs are cracked and there's so much pain, so I can't do any of the things that I used to be doing. So I'm like, they're telling me, like, you may never walk again, you may never run again, you may never be the person, you'll never drive again. I'm hearing all these things from these doctors. So unfortunately, I let my mind go down a very dark path. But for the previous things I had mentioned about how being competitive was so important to me and training my body and mind and doing hard things every single day, that I came to the epiphany. I remember I was laying there. My girlfriend was amazing. She was there every night sleeping on a, you know, this little couch next to me, and I'm in the bed and I'm just laying there by myself. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what am I doing? Like, there are people, you know, in the next room over or downstairs that have it way worse than me. And, you know, my mind, like, I'm grateful because I'm still the same person. I still have the same goals. I still want the same things. So I'm relatively back. And like, I just had this night where I was going to flip the script. I'm like, this is on me. This situation sucks, but you know, it is what it is. I need to figure it out. And what I can control, maybe I can't control that my eyes don't see. Maybe I can't control that, you know, I have my left leg or whatever the case may be, but I can control my thoughts. Like, I'm still there. So I started to shift and realize, like, and truly get competitive in my therapy. When I would see people quitting, taking water breaks, I'm like, no. Nah. Like, you know, that's not me. That's not who I am. I, this is It's funny because I had all these specialists tell me, I actually had one yesterday because my quad and some lateral meniscus or something is partially torn. And they're like, yeah, you maybe shouldn't be doing it. But, and it just goes through one ear and out the other. I'm like, you know what? Like, let's see, you know, I'm going to keep pushing and I'm going to keep doing it. That's what I've trained for my entire life, trained for this moment. I'm a whole food plant-based vegan, so extremely, you know, into eating an anti-inflammatory diet, no processed foods. Like it's crazy in that capacity and working out. So literally my whole life, you know, I had many doctors say if I didn't do what I had done previously, like I wouldn't be anywhere near the recovery I'm at. But, you know, it was all worth it, like to me. And it's just more motivation to keep living the life, you know, I was living before.
Yeah, no. And that's, man, that's a wild story. And just the competitive side with yourself. Talk to me, because we talk about comparison will rob you. What do you do when you catch your thoughts going back to that pre-August 11th life or what you could do? Like, how do you handle those frustrations? Do you channel them? Do you sit in them? Like, talk to me through, or you're just like, that was a different life then, I'm focused on now.
To be honest, like, they're gonna surface. It's inevitable. You know, we're humans, they do surface and they do happen. But I believe that I can do whatever I want. Like, anyone, you can do whatever you want. Like, so I have these thoughts that come up and I've trained my mind, I would say, to be so harsh and direct with it that when they do come up, I'm like, nah. Like, I just redirect to something else. And now it's so easy. Like, it never... I don't even, to be honest, the past couple of weeks or months, like, I don't even have those thoughts because I'm so focused on my goals and end goals and the life I know I'm going to get to and the life I want, that these thoughts, they're just, you know, it's nothing. There are people that have it a million times worse than me. And what am I going to sit on here and waste this opportunity? Like, yeah, I'm legally blind, but I can see, you know, there are people that would kill to be in my position. So it's important to be cognizant of things like that and be grateful with what you have. And as far as the intrusive thoughts, you know, I've just practiced and it was hard. It took months and arguably a lifetime to prepare for that, but it was worth it. You know, you just got to keep working on it and keep going, I think.
Talk to me a little bit about the importance of, like, the people around you. Like, have you changed some of the people around you? Are you tightening the circle of people who you talk to? How have they impacted some of this journey?
Yeah, I mean, my parents, my brother, my brother's wife, my girlfriend have been like amazing. They literally come to the hospital every day, check in, all this stuff, all the feedback they give me is like tremendously positive, to the point where I almost want, like, all right, give me something negative. Like, I need to get motivated, I need to get going. But they've been so loving, and my friends have been truly, I went to school in New York, actually on a week from tomorrow, two of my best buddies are coming to visit too. Just been another one of my best buddies just showed up on a Saturday. So that it goes back to those intrusive thoughts. Like, who am I to have these thoughts when these people, like, they would kill for me? Like, it was so hard for my family. They thought I was going to die when I was in there. They didn't think I was ever going to come back. And it's just like, I can control all this and I can do whatever I want to some extent. You know, I'm going to get there. I'm going to push through it and I'm going to get there. And, just trying to enjoy the process. And as far as negative people in my life, I'm grateful and thankful that I really don't have any, but I'm a firm believer in, they say, what, you become the seven people you most spend the most time with or something like that. Like, I don't got time for that shit. Like, I'm so focused on, you know, my goals with the business. I've got some real estate side hustles, like my fitness. I don't have time for any of this negative energy. Like, I don't need you, you know, I need my mind. And if you're going to mess with my mind, like, I don't need that in my life.
Dude, I love it. I love it. Not letting the negativity around you and refusing to be a victim in a situation when so many people do. And as you talked about, like, and you've said it over and over again, and for those listening, like, you're like, I have so much to be grateful for. And it's easy for people not even going through as tough situations to forget that. So, man, I just want to commend you on that. I want to tell you what an inspiration you are, how incredibly humbled I was when you sent that message to our team about how just the Beat Yesterday flag had just been a little bit of source of motivation for you. And so thank you for coming on the show, man. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for being the type of person that we need to look at and say, you know what, Mike's strong like Mike, as I saw your family wearing shirts.
Yeah.
And showing up and not being a victim to the situation, but getting better. I just want to encourage you with that and commend you. And man, keep showing up and winning each day.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. Keep flooding me with those words. Those words hit hard. Keep going.
I will. For everybody listening, we're going to link to Mike's Instagram. You can read a little bit more about his journey there. Mike, man, keep showing up every day. Thanks so much for coming on the show this week.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Look forward to seeing the content and stuff you create, and I'll keep going. Beating yesterday.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Compete Everyday Podcast. To get in touch with the team, drop us an email to podcast@competeeveryday.com. And to find out more about our resources, content, and gear that will help you build that winning mindset so you better compete for your best life, visit competeeveryday.com.